A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, sports fans, welcome back to Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 Zone. Scotty Mitchell, known as, I like Scotty better, I'm just telling you. Scotty Mitchell is here with Scotty G.
All right, there we go.
And we're doing this show today. Of course, I'm a regular on this program, and Scotty G is my invited guest today. And thank you very much for joining us. Alex is out for a couple of days, and we're having a good time here. I've thoroughly enjoyed every single minute of what we've been doing today.
Yeah, this is fun.
Really enjoy it. Look, guys, Minky Couture wants to help you this holiday season with the perfect gift. Stop by any location from Ogden to St. George today. Mention Zone 50 and save 50%. Guys, it's a no-brainer. Get in today, save 50%, and get the best gift ever from Minky Couture.
So I've been doing remotes up at Minky Couture. Hans and I have been up there a bunch.
Yeah.
It's the one way you cannot screw up Christmas. Like, I'm telling you, Valentine's Day, Christmas, birthday, anniversary, you bring in a Minky Couture, and you will not screw it up. You will not be in the doghouse. It's the safest gift you could possibly give.
My first grandchild arrived. It's been 4.5 months now.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Yes, thank you. And you know what she got?
Minky blanket.
She got a Minky blanket. So did my daughter. And my daughter was just, daughter lives in Charleston, South Carolina, took it with me on the airplane. Granddad of the year, right there.
There you go.
Yeah. So I get it. I understand. Hey, we're going to have Tim Lacombe here, Jazz Insider, with us. He's going to join us in a bit. But the all Pac-12 teams came out. I'm curious if you think, were there any surprises for you?
No, honestly. Maybe. No, I mean, honestly, I was actually, you look at Cam Rising, named first team quarterback.
Yeah.
And I remember you came in, you're like, at the end of the season, it'll be highly thought of as one of the best quarterbacks. And then I'm thinking, wow, he didn't play the first, you know, 2.5 games. And,
right.
And then I'm realizing, well, who else out there is better?
Right.
And then you look at the, you know, the dude from UCLA with second team, and it's like, well, yeah. Cam Rising's like light years better than that guy.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer, honestly.
Everyone talks about dual-threat quarterbacks. Cam Rising is, I think, the only dual-threat quarterback in the Pac-12. I mean, legitimate, where the guy can legitimately throw the ball and legitimately run the ball. And I think running, to me, has been the massive surprise. I marvel. I watched him in the championship game. It's like, wow, he had that 40-yard run, and it was just a tough run. And he's just a lot faster than I think people give him credit for, but he's running the ball has been massive for Utah. Converting third downs, he's been incredible.
Don't you think Keithy should be on that first team tight end?
Yeah, that was the one that I was surprised by. I was surprised, it's like, wow, because he has just been such a great, great player, both running and blocking on the most, you know, the high scoring team in the Pac-12, the Pac-12 champion. It just felt with me. I know there's a lot of representation, right, on the first and second team, but it just feels like maybe there should be more guys represented. I'm not sure where they fit, you know, who it should be, because there's three guys on the defense, overall. And I just – it just feels like maybe there should be more. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Also, Tavian Thomas, I mean, there was a three-game stretch. He had 9 carries over that three-game stretch, and he ends up on the first team as well. It just shows you when he poured it on, it was something special.
See, I think this is a kinder, more gentle Kyle Whittingham, because in the years past, Tavian Thomas, with the fumble issues he had early on, would be banished forever. And to Kyle's credit, they stuck with him, and they saw something there, and they were very patient.
Well, I know my guy Timmy's waiting, and in fact, you pot him up. We'll talk to Tim.
And yeah, Tim can talk football with us a little bit.
Yes. But you know, here's the thing about Kyle Whittingham. At the end of the day, it still comes down to talent. And Tavian Thomas, I know, is putting it on the ground, but you know, you go three stretches where he only has 9 carries, you realize our best running back is over on the sideline. We need to fix this. Like, he's got to get out there, because that guy's talent and that his ability is so good that if we put up with him putting it on the ground once or twice, we have to, because he's just that good.
Is Drake London, is he the player of the year? Because he was the player of the year. Offensive player of the year. And he missed, like, most of – well, not most. I think he missed the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Tim, how are you? You can join in the conversation here.
Hey, Coach.
What's up, guys? Man, Scotty. How about that?
I know.
Got you covered, man. From every angle.
Yep. Every T is crossed.
So, yes. All right. So let's say you had, I'm trying to think. All right. Let's say Jimmer, your final year at BYU, or Jimmer's final year at BYU. And you can tell he's far and away. Let's say Kawhi Leonard doesn't exist. Jimmer's far and away the best player in that conference, but he only plays, 75% of the season. Should you still honor the player that played, again, about 75% of the season, and while he was playing was far and away the best offensive player, but didn't go a whole season? Should he still pick up the honors for the offensive player of the year?
I don't think so. I mean, not in the world I grew up in, anyway.
See, I agree with you on this.
I mean, I think talent's talent, and I love talent, you know, but it's what did you actually do in a setting, you know, all year long? Did you make a difference? How'd you help your team? That sort of thing. And hey, like, I understand that injuries or whatever happened, but to me, part of it is, you know, the endurance part of it too.
Well, I'm glad we all agree on this.
Yeah.
It's a unanimous vote here. So if we agree on it, then who should be the offensive player of the year in the Pac-12?
I mean, I look at Tavian Thomas with, 20 touchdowns?
Tavian Thomas, too, yeah. I'd say, yeah. He's a beast. That dude, like Scotty said, I saw from the very beginning, I'm watching the Weber State, like, who is that, you know? But he just couldn't hold on to the ball for a bit. And, yeah, I think Kyle was wise to bring him back.
Yeah.
That was good. But, yeah, that's who I'd pick.
Well, when you're, like, this time of year, this is to the victor go the spoils, right? I mean, that's what... Like, USC was lucky to want to get through a season. I mean, they were a non-factor in the Pac-12. They really and so I feel that if you perform well, your team does well, it's because you have good players. You have the better players, and for that you should get that recognition. And I just didn't feel like if Drake London was a receiver and I was a quarterback, I'd throw the heck out of the ball to him. But
yeah,
to not, you know, finish out the season, he's a great talent, is all these things. I think it diminishes what all these other players have done and what they've meant to their teams, and especially this Utah team that won the conference championship, represents the conference in the Rose Bowl, and it proportionately should be represented on the all-conference team. This is a Utah team that led the conference in scoring and was the very best team, period. End of discussion in the Pac-12, and I agree with you guys. I mean, Cam Rising, I know he's all-conference, but still, you could argue for him as a player of the year as well. All right, can we shift gears, or do you have more to comment there? I mean, I want to talk shift. Jazz, but.
Yeah, shift. I'm good.
All right.
All right, so, Coach.
You guys weren't. Yeah.
I want to go back to Hans and I had a debate, and this was when the Jazz kind of hit their low point in terms of three-point shooting, and it was struggling. And so I put a number at. The Jazz were playing a good chunk of home games. It was about an eight-game stretch, and I told Hans, over under, the Jazz are going to shoot 35.5% from three over this eight-game stretch. Well, now that eight-game stretch is in the rearview mirror, and in that stretch they shot 43% from three. Do you feel like this team has righted the ship in that regard and that they'll close up? Because now I think they're as a season, they're up to about like 35, 36%. Do you think they'll get back into that 39, 40% range before it's all said and done?
I think they're certainly capable of it. And you know, with the addition of Rudy Gay and the way he's shooting the ball, particularly, and some of the matchups he'll be able to get in the positions he's in, I kind of do believe that they'll shoot it as well or better. I never bought, you know, I couldn't figure out why they couldn't make shots early on, but it really was a little bit of an epidemic and they figured it out. And what's crazy is through that whole time and not making shots, they're still find a way to be the number one team and on offense in the league. And that's just widened now that they're knocking shots down.
It feels like Donovan's kind of getting into his groove now. You know, I'm just curious, what do you see with his game and where is he right now?
Well, I would tell you this. I told Scott, Jake the other night during the game, we sit right there where you guys are right now and watch the games a lot of time on that television. And I told him, I said, Donovan to me looks like a guy that's having a lot of fun playing right now. He's smiling a lot more, you know, for whatever, you know, I think, you know, The being a pro is difficult. I think you go through so many different phases of it, and it's hard to settle in. It's hard to get 13 guys to settle in and want to do the same thing. But I do feel like right now the Jazz are pulling in the right direction. I think Donovan's a huge part of it. He's kind of made an uptick in his ability to make plays for others. His assist numbers have gone up considerably over the last few games, and you know, I think that's just a byproduct of him understanding that he really kind of is the straw that stirs the drink. And if he can be really good at scoring and distributing, you know, makes it really difficult for the other team. So I've really been impressed with Donovan. I think he's really on one of those little upticks in his career, even where he hit a little bit of a plateau to start this year. And I think he's just really kind of hit a new stride, which I really like.
When you're identifying guys in maybe recruiting or as an NBA team in the draft, how hard is it to evaluate clutch in clutch moments, clutch situations, things along those lines? Because to me, that seems like that's something you're born with. You're not necessarily able to develop. I don't know, maybe you can. But Donovan has that. And it seems like some dudes have it, some dudes don't, and you don't really know until those moments. But it seems like he's hitting it out of the park in terms of being able to take over a game in a fourth quarter when it's a close game.
Yeah, you love a guy who, you know, you want his role to be the closer, and he actually performs in that role and does it consistently. That's what you love. To answer your question, I think that's one of the great, you know, debates in recruiting. I think you're out there trying to find the most talented guys you can find. But you also want, and you know, it's why the NBA spends so much time and money on the recon, you know, the background of these guys, because you do want to dig in and how do they handle tough situations, you know? What are they like off the floor, you know? And really you have an opportunity to observe a lot of body language during games and certainly watch what, you know, how successful their teams are. I think you take that all into account. I thought it was really impressive, Coach Rose, when we were working. You know, his kind of deciding factor in the end was he took a guy who he'd take a guy who won a state championship, you know, or had a great season over somebody that was on a mediocre team, and that's kind of sometimes how he decided, you know, because he felt like that piece was really, really important.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I as I'm listening and thinking about this, I'd take a guy. I want to see how he responds when he fails. I mean, when you look at Donovan, there were some games earlier in the season where, you know, he's your closer and he, you know, he kind of failed. I mean, he dribbled the ball off his leg out of bounds. He poor passes. I mean, and you talk about these people that have had success, you know, and they were willing to fail. They're willing to try and fail and then figure it out through that failure. And there are some people that are like, man, I don't want the pressure of losing, or I don't want to go through the agony of defeat. So I'm just going to play it safe, and I don't want to see the ball down the stretch. And it's those players that have failed, or they're not afraid of actually failing, that you know, propels them on to bring it on. You know, I want to be the guy. I want to be the one with the ball at the end of the game. And I think a lot of it's just how they learned how to deal with failure.
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, it's the only way to know success is to have tasted failure and to know the difference. Or, you know, so that's, yeah, and to watch how guys deal with that, you know, it really is important. So kind of an X factor, I guess, in recruiting, and X factor in finding guys. But I'll tell you what, Donovan Mitchell's made of the right stuff. I mean, I see it again last week. Dude's got a couple nights off, and I know what that means now, because I do all these nights, and it gets really long. And you get a night off, and you just want to, you know, hang out on the couch. And what does Donovan do on a night off? He drives all the way down to Utah County to see a group of kids that he took an interest in because they came to practice or came to a game. It's stuff like that, man, that you, again, just shows the fabric of what kind of guy he is.
Mike Conley shooting 47% from 47% from three, shot nearly a career high last year, 41%. I mean, look, this guy's 33, 34 years old and shooting career highs in 3-point shooting. This system can be good for a lot of people, can it not?
Man, it really can. And I feel bad because Mike is, it's almost like it's expected, you know, it's a perfect example of what Scott's talking about. You go back to his first year here, and I mean, a number of people that would have sold him down, you know, to the highest bidder, you know, the next team in line, they would have done that here. And, you know, the bottom line is he played through it, and he's playing as good as he's ever played, I think. And he just has this calming influence on the team. They really respond to him. You know, I think it's interesting. Quinn talked about Ricky Rubio when he was here in town last week, and how, you know, Ricky's greatest quality is that he innately thinks of others. And I feel Mike's the same. I think Mike is a guy who constantly is out there trying to figure out how to put guys in a better position. You know, and yeah, to your point, Scotty, you start talking about Joe Ingles, and you talk about his ability and strength, and you talk about Bojan, and you talk about, you know, a guy like Rudy Gay, who's high level, and Hassan Whiteside, who's bought in. You really can see that this team has the ability from a character standpoint, from a talent standpoint, and I do believe this year from a little bit more versatility, you know, being able to match up to a team like the Clippers if they decide to go small. I think that stuff's really, really important.
I think Mike Conley said you either evolve or you die, you know, and it's like the 3-point shot is the NBA, and so he, you know, figuring out how to make that shot. Really quick here, go ahead, Scotty.
No, I've got a dumb question. Yours is more important than mine.
My question is, the Jazz are they've played the first of four road games. How do you get a mindset for a road game or a road trip in the NBA? What do you look for, and what do you focus on as a coach to get your team ready to make that stretch?
I think you know, I heard the guys talking about, you know, after the game, I think the message was sent that, hey, we're going out here, you know, it's holidays and there's a lot going on, but we're going to go out here on this road trip, and it's going to be a business trip, and we're going to do it from the start. And they had a crazy tough contest in Cleveland, who's, man, they're impressive to me. I really like their team. I think that we're going to hear way more about those guys, and the nucleus of that team, you know, going forward is going to be pretty good. But I think that it's really a mindset. I think you know, you can go out there and try to wade through it, or you can plow through it. And I think the mindset of this team for this trip, you know, is set pretty squarely by Coach Snyder. They're going to go out and try to plow through this road trip. And I like it because they had to really fight to win the other night, and they play a really good upstart Minnesota team tomorrow night on the road, who's a top 10 defensive team as well, that's got the ability to play the Jazz, you know, really get up in them, which is hard. They can be really switchy, which gives the Jazz trouble, and they're great out in the open floor. So it's going to be one the Jazz got to be locked in to win. But I like their mindset. I like the way that they talked about it after the first game.
All right, Jazz Insider Tim Lacombe, thank you, bud. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Always.
See you, Coach.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.